VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us today, and we've got a very full program today as we have a News Roundup broadcast pulled together. Our thanks to Sandy for getting so many stories edited and ready for us here today for the broadcast. And friends, in this world ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said. And I'm glad he didn't stop there because he said this. He said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So yes, indeed, some of the things we're going to be hearing today are quite troubling as to the matters and affairs that are going on. But keep in mind, God is in control, and Jesus is the overcomer. And we know what the final chapter is in the book. And so we can place our trust and our peace and our confidence in that. At the same time, we are understanding of the times in which we live, knowing the need for us to be salt and light. We'd like to highlight just so many of the issues that are impacting us across the nation, and the issues are many. We're going to begin with a LifeSiteNews.com story today. A video viewed millions of times showed doctors that were championing the hydroxychloroquine as an effective treatment for the coronavirus, swiftly removed, though, from YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook for violating the site's respective COVID-19 misinformation policies. The banned video, originally was posted by Breitbart, then removed despite going viral, shows a press conference held this past Monday in front of the U.S. Supreme Court by a group of America's frontline doctors in Washington, D.C. This was a White Coat Summit event that was being held. Doctors at this press conference began with a board-certified emergency room physician, Dr. Gold, who said he had decided to hold the summit because the American people have not heard from all the expertise that's out there all across the country. He said Americans are riveted and captured by fear at the moment. We are not held down by the virus as much as we're being told or held down by the spider web of fear. That spider web is all around, and it's constricting us, and it's draining the lifeblood of the American people, American society, and the American economy, said Gold. He said that there are many thousands of physicians who have been silenced for telling the American people the good news about the situation, that we can manage the virus carefully and intelligently, but we cannot live with the spider web of fear that's constricting our country. There's also a Dr. James Todaro claimed that there is an orchestrated attack that's going on against hydroxychloroquine. He said, when have you ever heard of a medication generating this degree of controversy? A 65-year-old medication that's been on the World Health Organization's safe, essential list of medications for years. It's over the counter in many countries, and what we're seeing is a lot of misinformation, he said. During Monday's doctor's press conference, Dr. Stella Emanuel, who says she is a primary care physician in Houston, claimed that hydroxychloroquine helped her treat COVID-19 patients, saying, I'm here because I have personally treated over 350 patients with COVID. I put them on hydroxychloroquine. I put them on zinc. I put them on Zithromax, and they're all well, she said. WND.com mentions on July 1st, Henry Ford Hospital physicians and researchers in Detroit filed an urgent request to FDA Commissioner Dr. Stephen Hahn for a new outpatient emergency use authorization for hydroxychloroquine, or HCQ, to be used in early treatment of COVID. Baylor Scott and White Heart and Vascular Institute in Dallas issued an urgent appeal supporting the Henry Ford EUA application based on their clinical study. Henry Ford's new clinical trial found an impressive 51% reduction in deaths if HCQ was begun within 24 hours of admission to the hospital. An outpatient primary care study by Dr. Vladimir Zelenko using HCQ, azithromycin, and zinc given within less than 7 days of COVID-19 symptoms showed approximately 80% decrease in deaths, and less than 1% of his patients needed to be admitted to the hospital. If the FDA had acted quickly on the Henry Ford and Baylor approval request for HCQ, we can reasonably consider that 16,000 lives could have been saved since July 1. But no, we're so infatuated with how many cases are going on, what is the rising death count, as this continues to be stifled, the hydroxychloroquine. Now, it's very interesting. We'll be getting, Lord willing, more into this on Tuesday with a medical doctor addressing these very issues. But what a campaign going on against hydroxychloroquine. Is it because President Trump suggested that it might work? Let's go over to Portland and some of the issues going on there. Democratic Representative Jerry Nadler of New York said Antifa violence in Portland is a myth. Now, he's the head of Judiciary Committee. He just brought in the Attorney General to testify on the U.S.'s response going on there, sending in federal agents to the area. Nadler made the comment during an interview with Austin Fletcher, a host of a program on a political channel. I'd like you to hear it because this is the head of Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler, saying it's but a myth. Here's Jerry Nadler.
There's violence across the whole country. Do you disavow the violence from Antifa that's happening in Portland right now? There's riots.
That's a myth that's being spread only in Washington, D.C.
About Antifa in Portland?
Yes.
Sir, there's videos everywhere online. There's fires and riots. They're throwing fireworks at federal officers. DHS is there. Look online. It gets crazy, Mr. Nadler.
Yeah, he's whisked away into his vehicle there as Antifa violence in Portland. He's saying it is but a myth. Daily Signal reporting Attorney General William Barr announced a new investigation Tuesday while strongly defending the Justice Department's action in protecting the federal courthouse in Portland. Barr's comments came in testimony before the House Judiciary Committee, a hearing that not only was partisan as expected, but characterized by rudeness by the panel's Democrats. A Democrat would ask a question, but when Barr began to answer, he or she would interject, reclaiming my time, and continue speaking until the allotted time was up. Despite this attack, Barr managed to make several points, though he sometimes had to wait for time reserved for Republicans so they could answer the questions that were posed by Democrats. I mean, some made the way that they cut him off is amazing. And someone actually made a montage of the times that the attorney general was stopped from providing responses to the Democratic questioners. Listen into this. This will give you an idea of what was going on.
And I'm reclaiming my time, Mr. General.
And my time is limited. I have the time.
So what?
Reclaiming my time.
Yeah, I'm answering your question.
Well, you got to let him answer.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time, sir. Reclaiming my time. And I know you don't want to answer.
I'm not saying that.
I reclaim my time.
Reclaiming my time.
Reclaiming my time, Mr. Attorney General. Reclaiming my time.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time, Mr. Attorney. Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time, Mr. Barr.
Okay, reclaiming my time. Excuse me, the time is mine.
I'm starting to lose my temper. Excuse me, Mr. Barr, this is my time, and I control it.
Reclaim my time, sir.
I think in another one, I voted by
reclaiming my time. Okay, reclaiming my time.
Publication.
Reclaiming my time, sir.
Quibbling I will get to that. Reclaiming my time. You answered the question. Mr. Attorney General, reclaiming my time.
I was talking
reclaiming
about.
My time.
We've waited a long time for you to come here. The time is mine. The time is mine.
Substances.
Mr. Attorney General, reclaiming my time.
Reclaiming my time, sir.
Without a rule, I think DHS.
Reclaiming my time. I'm surprised at your lack of respect for a member of Congress.
It's amazing. I'm surprised at your lack of respect. And every time he was stopped in his tracks from speaking, giving responses to those that were asking questions, saying, I'm reclaiming my time. And then you have the likes of Nancy Pelosi, who said that the attorney general was not forthcoming.
What do you think the Democratic House got out of or learned from Attorney General Barr when he finally showed up
this
today?
This is MSNBC.
Well, I don't know that they learned anything, but it demonstrated to the American people the contempt that he has for our democracy. In fact, 1 year ago in July, we held the Attorney General in contempt. His inconsistencies about not sending law enforcement in when people invaded, really, the legislature in Michigan, and then saying because demonstrators are out on the street, that's violent. But it wasn't violent for people to go in with guns into the legislature in Michigan. So the inconsistency of it all, and the fact that he was, shall we say, not forthcoming in his rejecting any thought that he would talk politics as the Attorney General with the President of the United States. This is very serious. 98 more days to go, and he was even vague about stepping aside, if it is clear. Clear to whom? clear to the American people. The results of the election are the results of the election. He doesn't have to qualify it. I just thought he was despicable and just so beneath the dignity of an attorney general.
My. That was Nancy Pelosi speaking in regard to this and saying he was not forthcoming. And you heard all the times he was interrupted. He could not speak. Matter of fact, the ranking member, Jim Jordan, did try to speak up on his behalf.
Mr. Chairman, just real quick. I don't think we've ever had a hearing where the witness wasn't allowed to respond to points made, questions asked, and attacks made. Not just in this committee, but every committee I've been on. Particularly when you think about the fact we got the Attorney General of the United States here.
Gentleman does not have the time.
I don't want the time. I want the Attorney General to be able to have enough time to respond to accusations and questions asked him, and you guys not cut him off.
What you want is irrelevant.
Wow.
But irrelevant are the rules.
What you want, now, Congressman Jordan is the ranking member. What you want is irrelevant. And folks, I firmly believe in my heart this was orchestrated against the Attorney General, that this was nothing but showmanship to bring him there for each one to make their 5-minute speeches as he begins to respond to questions and issues that they raised. Now I'm reclaiming my time. Well, several hours of this went on. Matter of fact, Attorney General William Barr was forced to wait for nearly an hour before his testimony because we understand the chair, Jerry Nadler, had gotten into some kind of vehicle accident on the way there. And so you can imagine by 3:30 in the afternoon, after hours of testimony, he was tired, he was hungry. He asked the chairman, Nadler, for a five-minute break. For which he was rejected. Listen. I mean, it was getting so petty.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, could we take a five-minute break?
Dean is recognized.
Could we take a five-minute break, Mr. Chairman?
No.
That's a common courtesy,
Mr. Dean is
Chairman,
recognized.
Of every witness.
I waited 45 minutes for you this morning. I haven't had lunch. I'd like to take a five-minute break.
Mr. Attorney General, we are almost finished. We're going to be finished in a few minutes. Otherwise... We can certainly take a break, but
you're class. Well,
okay.
Yeah,
after this, if you still want, we'll have a break.
No, he wants a break now.
You want it now?
And you just mentioned rudeness. I think we're seeing it on display. Let's let the Attorney General have a break.
Committee will stand in recess now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Wow. So he finally got his break after being there a good portion of the day. No lunch. They waited an hour for the chairman to get there. He asked for a five-minute break and was denied until, again, Jim Jordan spoke up on his behalf for him to have a five-minute break. And then he says, well, you can have it after this next questioner. And Jordan says, no, he wants to take it now. Okay, you can have it now. And what was it? The Attorney General said, you're a real class act. Wow. Well, we're going to get to some other issues after the break coming up here. As a matter of fact, we're going to go into the area of the nation's largest teachers unions that are backing a safe schools plan. But guess what the demands are? We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does the camel store its water in its hump?
No, Chris, the camel does not store water in its hump, but it uses that hump to store fat from which it draws energy when it goes for long stretches without food or water. Actually, there are many specific design characteristics about a camel. It has extra long eyelashes to protect its eyes from wind in the desert. It has the ability to close up its nostrils to protect its lungs, and wide pads on its feet, which make walking on sand easier. Its thick coat of hair protects it from extreme temperatures. It has lots of physiological abilities which are moderated when it has to go without water. The camel has played a very important role in human history. In many ways, it's an obnoxious creature, but it's a marvel of God's design. He created all land animals on day 6 of creation week, back in Genesis.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Oh my, it's July 31. It's amazing how fast the month has gone by here. With it being July 31, can I give you this last-minute reminder on two items? First of all, as you recall, earlier this month, we had Brian Osborne on from Answers in Genesis. He wrote that book, Quick Answers to Social Issues, Dealing with Matters, Life, Equality, Sex, Environment. What does the Bible have to say about these things? This book, Quick Answers to Social Issues, a reminder that our bookstore has this reduced by 45% off through today, July 31. And you can still take advantage of it today at vcy.com or at 1-888-722-4829. Normally $12.99, they have it for $7.79 at the VCY bookstore. And then just one other note, and that is now about 4 weeks ago, we conducted an interview with Dave Ute about the release, the new digital HD release of Sheffy, a powerful story of the circuit riding preacher who had his 200th anniversary of his birth, July 4th, here in the year 2020. And so this brand new, digitally redone version of Sheffy was made available in this pack. It's a Blu-ray plus a DVD, plus inside is a code for a digital download, plus you have public showing rights with Sheffy. And during this month of July, we made this available and still do here today for a donation of just $15. Normally retails for $19.99, but just $15 plus additional copies for just $10 each. And a 10-pack, though, is even a special discount available for donation of just $75. To take advantage of this, you need to call our offices today at 1-800-729-9829 and ask regarding Sheffy, 800-729-9829, or you can go to vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. As a special courtesy, we're going to leave it up on our website through the weekend, but you can get there at vcyamerica.org. So I wanted to give those reminders here with this being the last day of the month. So we get back to our news roundup today. Looking here at the Daily Wire, some of the nation's leading teachers' unions are backing a safe schools plan that outlines what teachers and administrators need for students to return to the classroom. In a document labeled Demands, the group under the banner of the Journeys for Justice Alliance claims that no return to the classrooms will be truly healthy until those same schools are also equitable. And to that end, they have a list of 8 demands that outline conditions under which union teachers may agree that they may agree to return to in-classroom instruction. Listen to these demands. Listen to the demands. No reopening until the scientific data supports it. Listen to that, folks. How many youngsters have contracted COVID? How many hospitalizations of youngsters? How many deaths have taken place? Less than the flu. Not only that, here's a second demand. Police-free schools. Number 3, all schools must be supported to function as community schools with adequate numbers of counselors and nurses and community parent outreach workers. Next one, safe conditions include lower class sizes, PPE, cleaning, testing, and other key protocols. Then there's support for our communities and families, including moratorium on evictions. What does this have to do with it? Moratorium on evictions and foreclosures, providing direct cash assistance to those not able to work or who are unemployed, and other critical social needs. This is a condition for getting kids back in the classroom. Next is a moratorium on new charter or voucher programs and standardized testing. The 7th or 8th, rather, is adequate and equitable funding through federal stimulus. Then there's a massive infusion of federal money to support the reopening funded by taxing billionaires and Wall Street. And then equitable access to online learning. Although it's not directly specified, Journeys for Justice Alliance, the Chicago-based activist organization that authored the list of demands, also wants a full moratorium on private education, not just charter schools and voucher programs. Several large teacher unions, including one of that serves Los Angeles Public Schools, have made similar demands. This is a collective effort. It's supported by the Chicago Teacher Union, the Boston Teachers Union, United Teachers of Los Angeles, the Massachusetts Teachers Association, the Center for Popular Democracy, the St. Paul Federation of Educators, Midwest Academy, the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, National Educators United, the Racine Educators United, Little Rock Education Association, the Oakland Education Association, of course, the Democratic Socialist of America. The group is also looking to host a National Day of Action on August 3rd, right before many states make their final decision on whether to allow for in-person learning. The teachers' union, who cares so much about the children of this nation, gives their list of demands for returning to the classroom. Also from the newamerican.com, the American Federation of Teachers, the second largest teachers union in the country, authorizing its members to go on strike if their schools don't meet their standards for a safe reopening amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Their leadership, the union's leadership, approved the legislation last Friday, announced it on Tuesday at its convention. The resolution identifies their conditions for the reopening of schools. That includes mandatory masks, social distancing, and updated ventilation systems. Additionally, the union claims schools should only reopen in areas with infection rates below 5% and transmission rates below 1%, and only if local officials have taken steps to trace and isolate cases. For many schools, more funding would be needed to reopen safely. The group said it estimates the average school will need at least $1.2 million, amounting to some $116 billion nationwide. Let's get to another issue. LifeSiteNews.com. The National Football League and the NFL Players Association recently announced regulations forbidding players to attend church when a service is more than a quarter full. Players, you cannot go to church if there's more than a 25% capacity at the church. In addition, players cannot go to nightclubs and indoor bars except to pick up the food. Indoor house parties with 15 or more, indoor concerts or professional sporting events. If players test positive for COVID after engaging in prohibited activities, they will not be paid for the games they miss, and future guarantees in their contracts will be voided. Players who provide team who violate team rules will also be fined with an unspecified amount that, according to the collective bargaining agreement, used to regulate conduct ranges from $5,000 to more than $70,000 for each offense. NBC Sports speculated that teams might use security officials to monitor local establishments or to track the behavior of players. Others may rely on contacts within the community to contact the team if and when violations are witnessed. Some may set up an NBA-style tip line. Although the regulation details have not been publicly released, NBC Sports did not mention any restrictions on attending protests. No restrictions are mentioned on attending protests. The NFL recently tweeted pictures of players attending Black Lives Matter protests around the country, and on June 5th tweeted support for Black Lives Matter protest. We, the NFL, encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest, but don't you dare go to a church that has more than 25% capacity. Not only the NFL, let's go to the NBA. Are you losing interest in national sports? The first game of the NBA returned Thursday in a matchup between the Utah Jazz and the New Orleans Pelicans. Every player, coach, and even the referees took a knee as the national anthem began to play. Players wearing shirts and the words Black Lives Matter emblazoned on the front. Listen to this story from thedailywire.com. Responding to questions via Snapchat, Denver Nuggets forward Michael Porter Jr. said he believes the China-originated coronavirus is being utilized for a bigger agenda, including to control the masses of people. He spoke on this coronavirus being overblown to scare people into being controlled. You know all about that, read one of the questions to Porter. That's facts, the 22-year-old replied. Personally, I think the coronavirus is being used, obviously, for a bigger agenda. It's being used for population control, he said, just in terms of being able to control the masses of people. Because of this virus, the whole world is being controlled, Porter said. You're required to wear masks, and who knows what will happen when the vaccine comes out. You might have to have the vaccine in order to travel. That'd be crazy. I've never been vaccinated in my life. I've never had any shots or anything like that, he said. It could get crazy, the NBA player said, but it's definitely an agenda behind everything that's going on right now. From basketball, let's go over to Major League Baseball. WND.com points out every Major League Baseball player from the four teams that played on opening day took a knee as a statement about inequality. Well, every MLB player except for one. San Francisco reliever Sam Coonrod was the only player among the Giants, Los Angeles Dodgers, Yankees, and Nationals who did not participate in the demonstration. He said, "I'm a Christian," he told reporters. "I can't get on board on a couple of things. I've read about Black Lives Matter, how they lean toward Marxism and said some negative things about the nuclear family." He went further to explain that he meant no ill will by not taking a knee. But he said, "I don't think I'm better than anybody. I'm just a Christian. I believe I can't kneel before anything but God, Jesus Christ. I choose not to kneel. If I did kneel, I'd be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite." Hats off to him. Now let's go over to the Women's National Basketball Association, WNBA. Players on the New York Liberty and Seattle Storm, WNBA teams, walked off the court during the U.S. national anthem in a social justice protest before their game this past Saturday. Townhall.com, Beth Ballman writes of a sheriff in Nevada on Monday sent a letter to the county's public library board letting them know deputies would not be responding to their 911 calls. Douglas County Sheriff Dan Crowley cited the board considering a diversity statement that endorses the Black Lives Matter movement. Quote, "The Douglas County Public Library denounces all acts of violence, racism, and disregard for human rights. We support hashtag Black Lives Matter. We resolutely assert and believe that all forms of racism, hatred, inequality, and injustice don't belong in our society," part of the proposed statement said. According to Coverley, the Black Lives Matter movement was caused violence, property damage, and the closing of local businesses. He said they call for the defunding of police, and we've seen how a lack of active law enforcement has worked in Seattle. To support this movement is to support violence and to openly ask for it to happen in Douglas County. So he wrote, "Due to your support of Black Lives Matter and the obvious lack of support or trust with the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, please do not feel the need to call 911 for help. I wish you good luck with disturbances and lewd behavior, since those are just some of the recent calls my office has assisted you with in the past," he concluded. Well, it appears the library had a backlash against them and delivered a news statement saying, "We agree that we both support the people of Douglas County. This may have been an unfortunate circumstance of misunderstanding. The library respects and supports the work of the Douglas County Sheriff's Office and appreciates everything they do to keep our community safe." Then why are you supporting an organization that is pulling the funding of police, not only in your county, but across these United States? Daily Wire reporting Seattle's police chief issued a memo over the weekend warning the city's residents and business owners that police officers would not be able to safely intercede in the event that homes and businesses were targeted during expected protests after the city's council passed a measure barring cops from using non-lethal crowd control methods. The new measure bans Seattle police officers' use of less lethal tools, including pepper spray that's commonly used to disperse crowds that has turned violent, according to the Chief Carmen's Best letter. Best also said in the letter that she's taken her concerns with her new law to city officials who refuse to acknowledge them. Best, the Waukesha Examiner note, says that she has done her due diligence of informing them numerous times of the foreseeable impact of this ordinance on upcoming events. And indeed, her events, the issues have come to pass in her community. Friends, we're going to take a quick break here. I've got so much more. We're going to continue sharing in the next segment. Maybe this is why so many guns are being purchased across the nation, because police are saying, "We can't protect you anymore." We'll be right back.
This month marks the 200th anniversary of the birth of Robert Sheffie. Sheffie, an itinerant circuit-riding preacher, committed to proclaiming the gospel to the mountain folk in the eastern U.S. To mark this milestone, Unusual Films is releasing a restored, high-definition edition of the powerful film, Sheffie. And this month, VCY is making it available to a whole new generation. This offer includes both Blu-ray and DVD, and even a digital download. Also included the public showing rights, enabling the church and schools that own a copy to show it publicly. This month only, VCY is offering one combo pack for a donation of $15 and additional packs for a donation of just $10 more. You can also obtain 10 sets for a donation of just $75. Call 1-800-729-9829. This offer ends July 31st. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. A reminder, a number of states having primaries coming up in your states. I think of Kansas, Michigan here on August 4th. I know Minnesota and Wisconsin having a primary coming up on the 11th of August. Now certainly is time to be informed, and many others that are going on in states right now. I don't have the full list here, but friends, be informed. Cast prayerful votes. Elections, as Jelaine Appling from Wisconsin Family Council says so often, elections have consequences. Keep that in mind. Let's get back to some of the news stories here today. Certainly the matters that are going on, even as this next relief package is being put forth, the legislative process, Chuck Schumer going to the Senate floor, demanding that the Senate pass this HEROES Act that passed the Congress. Folks, there's a price tag of $3.445 trillion to the federal deficit with that. Don't have time to get into the details of it, though. From townhall.com, U.S. Attorney for the District of Oregon, Billy Williams, ripped into the media for how they've portrayed the nightly attacks against the Hatfield Federal Courthouse in Portland, which prompted the federal government's decision to send extra federal officers to ensure the safety of the building. He said, "What you have failed in the media have failed to distinguish. You have unwilling, you've been unwilling to call people engaged in criminal conduct as criminals as opposed to lawful protests. So I'm just saying there needs to be a distinction made between lawful, constitutionally protected protest and this." He said, "This is unlawful." Well, let's see. Mayor Lightfoot, Chicago last weekend, was it 59 shot, 3 killed over the weekend? Philadelphia, several police cars caught on fire, set on fire, I should say, carnage going on, and that's happening in a number of cities with similar leadership in the cities. Let's see, more shootings. This is Breitbart. More shooting victims in the Minneapolis so far this year than all of 2019. Minneapolis Star Tribune reported that there were 269 shooting victims in the city for the whole of 2019. So far this year, 275 in Minneapolis. And yet the calls to continue to defund the police. Let's see. Yeah, the judge has blocked Seattle from stripping the police officers of pepper spray at this point, reports the Daily Wire. We'll see where that one all goes, saying it's we've got to have a little bit more thought on that first. Let's see. And then let's go to CBS out of Alabama. In the latest Max Minute report, CBS 2's Dr. Max Gomez had the details about a coronavirus vaccine. With the first volunteers receiving a shot, Moderna officially began the Phase 3 safety and efficacy trial of its novel RNA-based vaccine. They are enrolling 30,000 volunteers, half of which will get a placebo and complete the trial in just a few months rather than the several years that are normally required. They say even if a safe and effective vaccine is available by year's end, a new CBS News poll found that more than two-thirds of Americans, 70%, would either wait to see what happens when others got the shot or would never get one. Fewer than one in three would get the vaccine right away. Western Journal reporting, we keep hearing about the coronavirus deaths. Listen to this one. And folks, this is not an isolated incident. An investigation by West Palm Beach's WPEC-TV, published last Thursday, looked into the county's medical examiner records and the deaths listed as being caused by COVID-19. Among them, according to the outlet, were a 60-year-old man who died after being shot in the head, coronavirus victim, a 77-year-old woman whose death was caused by Parkinson's, a 90-year-old man who died from complications from a hip fracture caused in a fall. The disturbing thing is how simple the investigation was. They requested and received a list of all the deaths in the county where the decedent was said to have died of COVID-19. They receive a spreadsheet of 581 persons, all of them supposed to have been tested positive for the coronavirus. The list contains a cause of death and contributing factors to the death. Logically speaking, if you die of COVID-19, then COVID-19 should be the main cause of death listed, or at least a contributing factor. The I team found 8 cases in which a person was counted as a COVID death, but did not have COVID as listed as a cause or contributing cause. Only 169 deaths, meanwhile, had COVID-19 listed as the only cause without any contributing factors. Things are getting violent, as Daily Wire points out. A woman enraged by a young couple enjoying a picnic in a dog park in San Diego, while not wearing masks, reportedly maced the couple. Ash O'Brien and her husband and their 3-month-old puppy were enjoying the sun in the dog park when a woman in a black face mask targeted the couple with pepper spray. The woman had started her rage-filled actions by calling her and her husband idiots. O'Brien asked, "We were not wearing masks because we were eating. You can't wear a mask and eat at the same time." She then came right up to our table where we were eating and pointed the mace at me first and got a little on me. And then my husband stepped in and took the entire can. They were maced because they didn't meet the mask requirements set forth by this woman in the dog park. They're eating their lunch. Western Journal, a mother who entered a Walmart in Gainesville, Georgia, small children with her, last week became the victim of a mask bullying when she and her children were verbally assaulted by a grown woman wearing a mask who felt compelled to point out that they were not. The young mother is confronted by this apparent stranger, and despite the fact informing her assailant that her children were too young to wear a mask per the store's policy, the woman went on her unhinged rant, saying, and the mother said they're not supposed to wear a mask. Looking at her and her young children, the mask assailant said, "I hope you all die. You're going to kill me and my husband," the mask assailant added. As the mask assailant walked away, she turned around and boasted, "I'm wearing a mask." Newsmax.com, Herman Cain. The maverick American business czar and Republican presidential candidate who campaigned for a sweeping tax reform plan died Thursday morning after a month-long battle with the coronavirus. He was 74. Cain died in an Atlanta area hospital where he had been critically ill for several weeks, admitted July 1st, 2 days after being diagnosed with COVID-19. It's not known for sure where Cain, who is co-chairman of Black Voices for Trump, was infected. He'd been on a whirlwind travel schedule in June, stopping in multiple cities. From Western Journal, more than 600,000 military-connected Americans afflicted with the TRICARE health plan were told in error last Friday that they had been diagnosed with COVID-19. More than 600,000. The individuals and families were in the Military Health System's East Region, according to Military.com. The follow-up began when members received an email that began with some very jarring news. Quote, "As a survivor of COVID-19, it's safe to donate whole blood or blood plasma, and your donation could help other COVID-19 patients," the email stated. Well, a few hours later, Humana Military, which manages TRICARE across 31 states and the D.C., tried to calm the waters that it had roiled. In an attempt to educate members, you received an email incorrectly suggesting you were a COVID-19 survivor. You were not identified, have not been identified as a survivor, and we apologize for the error and any confusion it may have caused, Humana's follow-up email said. The board evidently apologized for the confusion caused by the original message, I should say so. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Governor Tony Evers requiring all Wisconsin residents to wear a face mask while indoors until the end of September. The order issued Thursday takes effect Saturday and makes Wisconsin the 34th state to require face coverings. It's kind of interesting to know that for weeks on end, he's been saying, "I do not have the authority to do this. I don't have the authority. I don't have the authority. I know I won't be able to do that. The Supreme Court has stopped me." But guess what? Tomorrow, well, matter of fact, today marks the end of the term of one of the conservative justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Daniel Kelly. You see, before, the governor was stopped 4-3 with two liberals and one who joined with the liberals from the conservative side, appointed by, I should say, conservative governors, voted for that. It was Justice Kelly who was the saving vote. And now that he is off the bench starting at the end of today, it's unknown how the Supreme Court would rule on such a case right now. There are those that are calling for the Wisconsin State Legislature to come back into session, as Senator Steve Noss, calling on the Speaker, Robin Voss, and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald to immediately call the legislature back into session to pass a joint resolution ending Governor Evers' new illegal and unnecessary emergency declaration, saying the legislature is empowered to end any emergency declaration issued by a governor through the simple passage of a joint resolution that does not require the governor's approval. Daily Wire reporting more than 100 law enforcement agencies have reportedly pulled out of security agreements to send personnel to help with security at the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee, in part because they're concerned about recent efforts to limit law enforcement use of tear gas and pepper spray in responding to violent riots. Milwaukee Police Chief Alfonso Morales was ordered last month to change the department's policies to ban the use of tear gas and pepper spray. And now over 100 police agencies pulling out. Sorry, Milwaukee, we're not coming to help. There's another issue here, folks. I'd like to get this in before the break. President Obama, former President Obama, attacks Donald Trump yesterday at the funeral for John Lewis. He used his eulogy of civil rights icon and lawmaker John Lewis to compare racist officials in the old segregated South to the Trump administration. Yes, indeed, this was at the funeral.
He knew from his own life that progress is fragile, that we have to be vigilant against the darker currents of this country's history, of our own history, with their whirlpools of violence and hatred and despair that can always rise again. Bull Connor may be gone, but today we witness with our own eyes police officers kneeling on the necks of black Americans. George Wallace may be gone, but we can witness our federal government sending agents to use tear gas and batons against peaceful demonstrators. We may no longer have to guess the number of jelly beans in a jar in order to cast a ballot. But even as we sit here, there are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws and attacking our voting rights with surgical precision, even undermining the Postal Service in the run-up to an election that's going to be dependent on mail-in ballots so people don't get sick.
Folks, was this a funeral or a campaign rally? Wow. Barack Obama speaking at that. Let's, by the way, also from CBN.com, billionaire George Soros has set a new personal record in his latest attempt to influence U.S. campaigns, reportedly donating more than $50 million for left-wing causes and candidates in the 2020 election. Speaking of donations, Mackenzie Scott, this is from Reuters, ex-wife of Amazon.com's billionaire chief executive Jeff Bezos, has donated $1.7 billion of her wealth in the past year to causes including racial equality, LGBTQ rights, public health, and climate change, she said in a blog post on Thursday. She signed a giving pledge and a commitment to donate the majority of her fortune after her split from Bezos. The world's richest man left her with a 4% stake in Amazon. A 4% stake. Her stake was worth $36 billion at the time of divorce. Her fortune has grown to $60 billion. Due to the jump in shares for Amazon. We're opening our phone lines. Our number 800-733-9829. Only time for brief comments today. 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Well, in 1966, the U.S. Army put out a document on unconventional warfare, and they reportedly rewrote it in 2016, and I have it right here in front of me. And what does this report state? Well, among many things, it lists 21 steps to insurrection and revolution. 21 steps to insurrection and revolution within a country and how it happens. My friends, after studying this and presenting it on television and radio with historians such as Trevor Loudon, we can clearly say we are in the final four stages of insurrection and revolution. In fact, the U.S. Army even talks about a shadow government. We would call that the deep state. No conspiracy here. Even a joint publication by the U.S. Army admits 21 steps to revolution, and we're in the final four. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House.
Well, if President Trump could take back a tweet, he probably would take one he sent out yesterday saying with universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Now, if he would have stopped there, he wouldn't have had the criticism he got when he added this next line, delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote? Question mark? Well, many spoke out, and rightly so, regarding any kind of delay in the election, but the plea for election integrity is real. We did a story with Robert Knight, a program on the whole issue of fraud, mail fraud, et cetera, with the ballots that are being found, those stuffing ballots, absentee ballot related issues. So that's another issue there. Let's get to the phone lines. We've got Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, I think Barack Obama took the globalist cue at John Lewis' funeral to promote peaceful protesting under the guise of civil rights in order to hide the upcoming, I would refer to as the new violent majority movement, which hopes will create chaos so that it can invoke the United Nations police to instill martial law. The very thing that Trump wants to do as far as using federal forces to stop rioting, I think they want to continue on so that they can bypass that. So when the conditions are right, they can actually upstage that by using the UN police force. That's what I see coming down the pike.
Okay. Yeah, they've been accusing Trump of wanting to declare martial law using the troops, and they're talking about conservatives that are provocateurs that are starting these violence and fires going on.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Thank you, Mark. Beth in West Allis, Wisconsin.
Yes, Jim. The only thing I could think of when I was listening to Obama do his little speech there at the funeral, which is, to me, is just unsavory. But everything that he said, everything that he described, everything that he was talking about as far as like what he was accusing others of doing, actually that's what they're doing, and that's what they're doing now, and he's letting you know what they're going to do in the future.
Hmm. Thank you, Beth. Yep, and that's often the finger-pointing that goes on are people who are guilty of doing those very things themselves. Our number 800-733-9829 to South Dakota. Gail, you're on the air.
Hi. I had a comment about the school. If the teachers, they don't want their jobs this year and they want to bully their employers, which is us, Trump should hire emergency teachers this year older in every state and pay them a wage and then see what's going to happen next year, because nothing's going to get done anyway if everybody has to wear masks and be so constrained and everything.
What did you think about that list of demands, Gail?
I thought it was terrible.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. Tim in Westby, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for your program. I'm going to talk about Americans. I mean, I'm a Christian, but this is just all Americans. We have to stand up. We got to put on the full armor of God, and we got to stand firm. We cannot back down.
Amen. Thank you for your call here today. And let's go to Johnny next in Dallas, Texas. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to know why can't, in place of mail-in voting, why can't they have them vote, have the new voting places in stores where everyone goes currently now, like Walmart or grocery stores, everywhere everyone goes now? Why can't the voting places be there?
Well, I'm sure that could be even interruption for commerce going on those days. But you point out the fact that people are used to going to locations and to have dedicated places for the purpose of polling. And protocols are put in place for cleaning surfaces and everything else for that. Wisconsin was criticized for holding the election. And by the way, Governor Evers sought to delay our election this past spring, but was turned back for doing so. And they're worried you're putting everybody's life at risk. People are going to die because you're having voting and blamed conservatives for that aspect. But they cannot trace people back to dying because of having the polls open. But the fear and the panic is out there. By the way, what comes after the mask? Now Fauci is suggesting that wearing goggles for better protection. That's right. Suggesting people should wear goggles or face shields for added protection against coronavirus. Is that going to be the next mandate? Sandy in Newark, Ohio, you're on the air.
I'm calling about President Obama's speech yesterday. I was expecting our governor in Ohio to come on and give an update, so I turned the TV back on, and I couldn't believe it. I thought it was just me. I turned it off. I thought, this is not a podium for campaigning. And you're supposed to be up there giving a eulogy, and it certainly isn't anything like that at all.
Yeah.
That's my comment.
Thank you for your feedback here today. We're going next to Jim in Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yes. I wanted to say that the reason that Obama campaigned for Biden during that funeral was because he knows that if Trump gets reelected, that the chances of people that were involved in spying on Trump will be indicted. And if he can get Biden in there, then Biden will cut that short.
Okay. Thank you for your observations there. Merle is next, also from Tennessee. You're on the air, Merle.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for taking my call. I would have to say Obama would have to be on the short list of being the Antichrist. I know it sounds crazy, but I'd say he'd be on the short list. Thank you, Jim.
And Sean in Hillsboro, Wisconsin, our final caller today.
Yeah, I was just curious if you've heard responses back on the state mandate for the masks in Wisconsin.
Yes.
As far as our police departments and stuff, how they've responded. I've heard that most departments are saying that they're not going to respond to or acknowledge any calls for people not wearing masks.
Yeah, and Sean, that's something that's going to go from municipality to municipality, county by county at this point. But there is a call for the legislative leadership to come back to Madison to pass a resolution opposing the governor and declaring a new emergency over the same emergency he did before. Something's not quite right there. Thank you for the call. We're out of time. I had a whole lot more stories to cover today, but the clock says my time is done. But thank you for taking time to join us for Crosstalk today and every day. And we trust that the program you find helpful and beneficial. Lord willing, on Monday, Bill Federer will be with us dealing with the topic of socialism, and a medical doctor on Tuesday with some of the latest matters dealing with the coronavirus and masking and opening schools and those matters. Let's keep this nation in prayer. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.